There are new disturbing details about the sexual assault of CBS reporter Lara Logan in Egypt's Tahrir Square last week. The journalist reportedly told relatives the attack was her darkest nightmare, and a friend is quoted in the Times of London saying that the psychological trauma is as bad, if not worse, than the physical injuries, which included being stripped, kicked, beaten. Then there were the online attacks that followed. Nir Rosen of NYU lost his job after joking about Logan's attack. Talk radio pundits claimed CBS wanted to wait to announce the attack because they didn't want to cloud the jubilant images coming out of Egypt. But Lara Logan has supporters, including fellow journalist Kim Barker, who writes in the New York Times that Logan has covered the most dangerous stories and done a lot of brave things, but her decision to go public about her assault, the bravest, because she broke a code of silence about the number of attacks. Judith Matloff has written about that silence in the Columbia Journalism Review. She's adjunct professor at Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism. She also served as bureau chief in Moscow and Africa for the Christian Science Monitor, and says female reporters aren't being taught to protect themselves. But Judith, first, what about this concern that journalists like Lara Logan and maybe Christiane Amanpour aren't going to be able to get these dangerous assignments? You know, that doesn't seem, you know, possible. Your thoughts?
I don't think it will affect their careers. They're very high-profile people who are basically celebrities in journalism. What I'm more concerned about is smaller newsrooms with less high-profile celebrity journalists.
You write in Columbia Journalism Review. Just give us a couple of examples. You know, we're not hearing these statistics, but you know, there are women who have had horrific experiences in the field and haven't talked publicly about it.
The way it all began is I had heard about a very prominent American broadcaster who let it slip off the record that she had been assaulted in a pretty awful way by her security guard in Baghdad. I mentioned the incident without giving the name to a couple colleagues and said, wow, you know, who knew? And they said, well, actually, Judith, I never told you about this incident that happened to me. And then the stories began to tumble out.
It's an intensely private thing, but is it also fear that they won't get these assignments again?
Oh, I think that's definitely a factor. As the woman in Baghdad said, she didn't want everybody to look at her and think of her in her moment of greatest vulnerability. In that case, she did tell her editors, by the way, and they were very, very supportive. But in the case of other women, I think they were afraid that their editors would say, well, you know, you're a bit of a liability, and we don't really want to send you out again because we don't want you to get hurt.
Well, and of course, we should note men as well as women were attacked in covering the story in Egypt and in Bahrain. Here's ABC News correspondent Miguel Martinez in Bahrain. A chilling sound. But Judith, there is usually a huge difference when women are attacked.
Well, I think there's a huge difference if a man is attacked sexually, too. A sexual attack is a very, very intimate one. It happens to men, too. But again, the sexual nature of these type of attacks make them different from mere beatings.
Well, what do you think reporters should be taught? I mean, there are some details that you give, telling your assailants that you're pregnant.
It's probably more effective if you tell your assailants that you have HIV.
Really?
I think nobody's really going to want to touch you then. Before you enter a situation, think about whether you should be taking a male colleague along with you, whether you should enter a mob. A mob, rather a crowd. A crowd is the most unpredictable and dangerous situation. Having said that, any journalist worth their salt would be in that crowd on that day. The question is, where do you position yourself in the crowd? Again, I'm not assigning blame to anybody who did get attacked, but it's a useful skill to know how to navigate a crowd, whether you should have a car waiting for you, whether you should lock arms with colleagues. Now, they can go wrong, as in this case. It sounds like Lara had sufficient security with her. But nonetheless, these are good things to know.
Well, and then others that you might never think of, don't wear a ponytail, soil yourself with urine or feces.
Yeah, the thing about a ponytail, somebody can grab you, likewise a necklace. And soiling yourself makes you so disgusting that it might give pause to a would-be attacker.
But again, we underscore, as I know you would want to, with an email from a listener, Cynthia Huddleston, who writes that she was raped. And she points out, my location and my gender didn't make me a victim of rape. A rapist made me a victim of rape. So, you know, again, you know, you're not assigning blame, but there are things that female correspondents, you say, should be taught and aren't being taught.
Yeah. Another thing, again, a large number of the attacks that I heard about took place because women were followed back to their hotel rooms. And there are many precautions one can take. Don't get into an elevator with a strange man. Another thing you can do is push your furniture against the door of your hotel. You should not take a hotel room where the window faces a terrace. Somebody might creep through. So, again, these are the kind of precautions that, again, you know, when I started out, I never really thought about these things, but I certainly think about them now.
Yeah. Well, again, as a journalist, do you think that CBS should have announced this sooner?
Absolutely not. Why does the public need to know? Laura Logan, who survived this, should have complete control over what information goes out.
As you know, her attack is being used by right-wing outlets as proof that this was a violent Islamic uprising and not a people's revolution. I just want to play...
That's just so despicable.
Here's Glenn Beck on Fox making that point that this was, not the narrative that the media wanted to send out.
While everyone was saying, oh, listen, this is great, in this crowd, we found out today that American woman was being sexually assaulted by 200 men in this crowd.
Again, Judith, criticism that CBS didn't want to spoil the narrative.
No. Yeah. That's absolutely ridiculous. They were trying to protect the privacy of a trusted, esteemed colleague. They did the humanistic thing. They didn't have an agenda there. They were trying to protect her privacy. And that is the standard practice when people are sexually assaulted.
Do you think, Judith, that something might change in the journalism world because of Laura Logan? The fact that, you know, she has acknowledged, even though she's being private about it, she has acknowledged what happened to her. You say that only one, I think I'm reading in your Columbia Journalism Review article that you know of only one colleague who's gone on the record about a sexual assault, a rape, prior to this.
I mean, I do hope that this is a positive result of what was a hideous incident. Time will tell. It takes a long time to change newsroom culture. I fear that what will happen instead is that news managers will say, well, you know, actually, we got to think twice about sending women out. But I sincerely hope that this is a galvanizing moment in newsroom culture and that finally, the silence is broken and people begin to speak about it.
Judith Matloff, adjunct professor at Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism, also former bureau chief in Moscow and Africa for the Christian Science Monitor. Judith, thank you.
Thank you.